Hare Krishna. Am I hurt? Speak about this verse. First, I was asked yesterday whether I wanted Radhanath Swami to give a joint class with me. I said, sure, why not? I don't know what happened. But anyway, I did say it was okay. And that was communicated by Bhagavad Gita Das. So I did hope there was no misunderstanding. Anyway, then I heard that today, but actually it was yesterday, is the Lotsan Das Tucker's appearance day. So I'll speak. As any past I told, he's the writer of the Chaitanya Mangal. Did anyone read any or say any of the past times of Chaitanya Mangal that he wrote? I didn't. Is anyone here object to hearing a pastime of Lord Chaitanya? Okay, well, the question is whether you have faith in ignorance, passion, or goodness. Or there's another level, which is Vasudeva, pure goodness. So you want to hear in pure goodness, the devotional level, which is transcendental, that's ideal. But otherwise, goodness is better. So there's different kinds of faith. So one may have a faith in the mode of ignorance, passion, or goodness, or pure goodness. So if you hear from a bona fide spiritual master, then we can hear in pure goodness. And otherwise, according to the modes of nature that we acquire, we have faith in goodness, passion, or ignorance. Some people have like fanatical blind faith and they're envious against other religions. So this could be considered in a mode of ignorance. Or then there's some people that like certain missionaries go to poor countries and they give houses and employment and things to people, and so they have faith because they're right, they're paid to have faith. So this would be faith in one of passion. Then there's the faith that in the mode of goodness, which is transcendental, or at least it's in goodness. It's so this is based on a shastra, based on a proper authority, not just otherwise people have faith also just because maybe some great person or some that they like, he said, some Louis Sar said, this is a good product. Like in India, they have, I know more about India, but I live there. They'll have some Louis Sar, some cricket player advertise a mobile phone or some something, and because this famous person is endorsing it, even in America, like the tennis players and others, Mr. Woods, Tiger Woods, they get millions of dollars for the sponsorship of some item. So because some famous person says this is a good thing, you should buy it, something like that. Oh, then I'll buy it. Because it's endorsed by my favorite golf player, my favorite cricket player, my favorite tennis player. But that's all the mode of passion. And that's not based on later that sports player is discredited, and then all the companies back off. They don't want to use them as endorser anymore. So then like this, so there's a faith that people have. What it should be based on is the Shastra, Sadhu, and Guru, not on this temporary things. Now, our Lakshmandas Thakur, he wrote a Chaitanya Mangal. Now, that gives some details that other scriptures don't give. Like it tells Lord beforehand how Lord Chaitanya came into the material world, that he was requested by Radha Muni, and then he came because of alertly because of Advaita Gosai. But it tells about Narada Muni going from one planet to the next, looking for some solution, going to Lord Jagannath. And he was sent up to Svetadvip, which is a part of the Golok Vrindavan. There's Vajradam, Vajradam, Dharkadam, and Svetadvip. Svetadvip is the part where Lord Chaitanya lives. There Lord Chaitanya was being bathed by Radharani and Rukmini on one side, Radharani and the Gopis on one side, Rukmini and the Queens on the other. They are dating Lord Chaitanya. Now, Radharani came in and he bowed down. So, then Lord Chaitanya said, "Oh, Radharani, what brings you here?" He brought him to the private room and he asked him, "Why is it that you have, what do you want?" He said, in the universe, the Brahmanda of the four-headed Brahma, there the Kali Yuga is going to start. So I'm told that you'll come down and you'll deliver those fallen souls. Otherwise, I'm very worried for them, how they're going to be delivered." So Lord Chaitanya, he came out and he announced to all the Gopis, queens, "I'm going to appear in the universe of the head of the Brahma with four heads. And I'm going to distribute the love of Godhead freely throughout Varsha, throughout India, and to some distant countries. If anyone escapes my gift of love of Godhead, then I'm going to send some Senapati Bhakta who will go and he'll reach in the west." So that little ingot, a little, what shall we call it, a little message given by Lord Chaitanya indicates, we think it, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada. Prabhupada ki? Prabhupada ki? Prabhupada ki? Because it said, some Senapati Bhakta, that the Senapati is like a general, like a commanding, a devotee will come and spread Krishna consciousness to the Western countries. So Srila Prabhupada, he would say that he was ordered by his guru to preach in the West. So Lord Chaitanya preached all over India. He went to South India, he went to the West India, he went to Dwarka, he went to Maharashtra, Tukaram, and of course he was in East India, in Bengal, Bangladesh, Benares, Jagannath Puri. So Lord Chaitanya, he preached all over India, more or less, Vrindavan. And Prabhupada, he brought the message here to L.A., to San Francisco, to Canada, to the all over the Western world. And then, of course, Prabhupada said, everywhere I go, I'm preaching to the people about the greatness of Indian culture. But India, frankly, they're following the West. They're going into the, they're going to, I don't remember the exact words he said, like, it's going to hell, he said, and they're going, like, entertain the West. So I want to do something. I'm not ordered to do that. This is my own desire. I want to do something so when the people come from the West India, they'll see Indian culture still alive and it's very active. So he started the Krishna Consciousness Movement in India. I was sent to India to be one of the his lieutenants to serve. And we had Radha Swami, we had Gopal Krishna Maharaj, and we had Bhandu Swami, and a number of people who are preaching in India. I oversee Eastern and Southern India mainly, although I do visit in Western and Northern India a little bit. So at this time, with my sickness, I was a lot of time in Bombay and in Delhi. So, but otherwise, we see the Eastern and Southern India. But somehow or another, now in India we have about 100 branches. And this is all because of Prabhupada's mercy. But we have 400 branches all over the Western world, so which is directly Prabhupada's preaching. So he established 108 during his lifetime, and that increased in 10 years to about 250, another 10 years about 350, like that. It's been increasing every year, every 10 years, almost doubling. So then he invited all the Ranis and the Gopis. Whoever wants to come with me, I'm going to appear in the, in this universe. And I'll be down, you can come with me and participate in my pastime. And then he told Narada Muni, you go and tell Balaram he has to come. And so Balaram came as Nityananda, of course. So like this. So all these details are given in the Chaitanya Mangal. It doesn't have a lot of philosophy. It has a lot of leela. And it has a leela that nowhere else is mentioned. So like as the first time, I think I told this at the yatra with Radha Swami. As the first time that he is at Lord Chaitanya, when he was about 3 years old, he there was a group of punties that came up to the house. So he did one punty and he hugged it and he said, this punty is my pet. So he tied a rope around the neck and he was taking the puppy in the house, and his mother said, what are you doing? You're a drowned boy. You can't bring a dog in the house. Dogs are not clean. But it's my pet. That's right. He's on the outside. That's the Romanian culture, not to bring a dog in the house. But I mean, not the American culture, but it's Romanian, Indian culture. So she brought the dog outside and tied it to the column of the house. And so Lord Chaitanya said, I want to go and take a bath. He said, okay, I'll watch your pet for you. No one will take your pet. And then he went off with his friends to the Ganga to take a bath. Meanwhile, the mother of the dog came up. So Mother Sachi was relieved. She let loose the dog. I went with the mother and back to wherever they live. Now, later on, that dog, because the dog had been hugged by Lord Chaitanya, the dog started to jump and Harizal, 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 chant Harizal. So, in India, even today, in the village, if something unusual happens, people tend to crowd around. Like when I first came to India, I was unusual. Foreign devotee is unusual. So people would crowd around and stare at me. At first I thought, why are they looking at me? I get angry. They get angry. So then I realized, don't get angry. It's natural. They're simple people. So then I would start saying, I learned Bengali. So I said, Kevarachan, Balachan. And they'd laugh. Yeah, oh, Balachi. So it was easy. But anyway, this group of people, they surrounded the dog, and the dog was like, hello, 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 hello. He's jumping. And they're all watching. Have you ever seen a dog saying, hello? So. Dog rolling in the ground, jumping up. So they're all looking, wow, what's this? Something rare and unusual. So then the dog died. And there was a sound, a light in the heavens. He looked up and he saw this light. Om Namo Narayana, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. And from the spiritual world came a spiritual airplane, which was propelled by mantras, and there was Vishnu, and from this dog body out came a human form, and it went into the airplane, and was taken back to Godhead. Haribo! So sometimes there's a song sung, oh hey, Vaishnava Thakur, I am your kukur, I am your dog. So we saw this what happened to the dog of Lord Chaitanya. He hugged the dog, and the dog developed love for Krishna. Haridho. Oranga. There's another dog leader, but we won't tell that. Our idea is not to tell dog leaders, but to tell Lord Chandas Thakurandya. So I'm writing a book. You got a DDT trustee, yes, I know. And I'm writing a book which is like, I open all the different books about Lord Chaitanya. Chaitanya Charanita, the Chaitanya Bhagavad, Chaitanya Mangal, the principal books, but also other books, parchas and notebooks, and then combining all, writing the text like this. Each author doesn't like to repeat anything written by the other author out of respect. So what happens is you got to read all the books to find out what was the leela that happened. One book tells one leela, and like the appearance leela. Each book adds some other detail, but they don't repeat the same thing. So in Chaitanya Mangal, there's also some details which are added. So I got Lord Chaitanya out to his sixth birthday, and that is one volume already. The idea is like Krishna's book, to have a Chaitanya book with all the leela. There's a little philosophy, just enough. But mainly a pastime. So Chaitanya Mangal gives some pastimes that other books don't give. And some, it adds a little bit. Originally, his book was called also Chaitanya Bhagavat, but then later they changed it to Chaitanya Mangal. And so we have Chaitanya Charamrita, Chaitanya Bhagavat, and Chaitanya Mangal. When Lord Nityananda, he went to see a Balaram, he fell down, and Balaram was seated with Revati and Brahmani, his consorts. So he told that Lord Chaitanya is coming. We can take appearance. He wants him to also appear. So then Balaram said, okay, I'll appear. Nityananda. Nityai Prabhuki. And then he said, Narayani is about to walk out. He said, wait, you have to appear too. So he came and asked who? Silas, yeah. What did he say? That's Hanuman. He came and asked Silas. So, Lajan Das, he was one of the biographers of Lord Chaitanya's Leela. So we offer our allegiance to him. Lajan Das Thakur Ki. Usually I have some time for questions. What time is it? Hanilo. Jai Rana Swami King. They had asked me this morning if I would like you to go to joint class. I said, of course. And I wondered what I did to offend you that you didn't come. So now you're here, you have to say something. We're taking lunch tomorrow, right? Together? Okay. 6 weeks. Okay. Who? So we were talking on the 17th chapter of Bhagavad Gita. It's about the origins of faith. It's the second verse. And it said there's faith in goodness, passion, ignorance. And yesterday was the appearance of Lotsandas Thakur. So I told some Leela, that Leela that we told together, that we were together in Mayapur, about the filthy dog. And the Leela of Narada Muni going to Svetadeep. So, because they said that nobody told him Leela from Chaitanya Mangal. So I don't know, what you'd like to see about? You see, Ranaswami, when I was unconscious, I was in a coma. Not really unconscious, but then Gopal Krishna Maharaj and a group of the senior devotees had me put at the Hinduja Hospital. Ranaswami had three doctors around the clock overseeing me, and then sometimes one of the senior doctors, like Shamlal or Madhavananda, would come from the Bhakti Vedanta Hospital and they would see me. Of course, he came regularly and saw me. Once I came conscious, the doctors had said there's no hope for me. They said, we never saw anybody survive. If he does survive, it may be that he'll be under some, he'll be like a vegetable, just on some machines, breathing. So, then he went to his yatra in Vrindavan and had the yatra praying for me. Some of the devotees didn't know who I was. They weren't, who is that Swami on the Vyasasan on some chair? But later, this year I went to the yatra and in Mayapur. And he said, you see, you paid last year, he's alive. So it was... Of course, there's devotees all over the world were praying, but 4,000 devotees at one shot in Vrindavan, multiplied times, 1,000 times, is like 4 million. So they had an advantage. Because everything you do in Mayapur, Vrindavan, it's multiplied by 1,000. So anyway, all kinds of things happen. And this year, I've been having a lot of association of Ranaswami, where I was in the Bhakti Vedanta Hospital for 3 months. And then, whenever he would give class, they broadcast it over the radio. So I'd listen. One thing, I don't know, because his classes here are the same thing I have, like therapy. But there, in the Chaltadi Temple, they're always laughing. So many laughs. Here, I don't know, he looks serious, but there is, I don't know if he laughs, but there, always the laughing. I never heard of him so much laugh. But it's all Krishna conscious laughter, but it's not. But it was a very wonderful opportunity. And he's a very lovely devotee. So I'm very honored to have his presence here. And although our paths didn't cross so much, a little bit only here in New Dwarka, but I'm very glad to have his association here. And I've been trying to promote the Bhakti Vedanta Hospital. Yes. Many professional devotees who are his disciples or well-wishers, and so he engaged them in this hospital. The doctors and nurses that were, they did have maybe 50%, 60% are still not all devotees, but 40 or 50% are devotees. So that hospital has also got amazing our spiritual care department. Chai Gordon, Chai Jai Rukhuri, Rukhuri, Chai Jagadavaldeshwana. So I was every day getting some nectar from the spiritual care department. When I was in Coimbatore, I told the chairman of the KG hospital. He said he wants, because he was having 24 hours Hare Krishna training. Like, not only by, in the Bhaktivedanta hospital, they kirtan played by Prabhupada, but in the KG hospital, anybody could sing the kirtan. And they had professional people. But he said he ordered a spiritual care department. So I'm in touch with this Rupa, how he could spread this process in different hospitals in the West, in India. Anyway, I go on thinking, but I want to hear a little bit of nectar from His Holiness.
Timidandasya Gyananjana Chalakaya Chakshurun Vilitam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Vanshakalpa Tharubyascha Kripa Sindubya Evacha Patithanam Bhavanibhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. I believe that you have been discussing from Bhagavad Gita devotion and the mode of goodness, passion, and ignorance. Well, I would like to speak something about the person who speaks about Lochan Das Thakur in reference to devotion beyond the mode of goodness. Mode of ignorance means to do the wrong thing at the wrong time for the wrong people with the wrong intent. Devotion with the intent to hurt others, to exploit, is in the mode of ignorance. Devotion that is with the desire to improve our own material situation, to get prestige, fame, wealth, is Rajaguna, the mode of passion. Devotion that's actually meant for the philanthropic well-being of other living beings, that's done with honesty, without selfish desires, is in the mode of goodness. Devotion, which is purely selfless, in a spirit of spiritual compassion to others, for the pleasure of the Lord, is transcendental. Srila Jaipatak Swami Maharaj, what we witnessed last year was a great lesson for all of us, for the world. Sometimes great personalities are put in very, very difficult situations. To teach us what real love is. Jaipatak Maharaj had a stroke where the top doctors of India claimed there was not even 1% chance that he could survive. In that state, where he was in something of a coma for quite a while, thousands and thousands and thousands of devotees, tens and thousands, all over the world, their hearts had come together like one, praying for him. It's human nature that we do not cherish the value of something unless it's taken away or about to be taken away. I know in our yatra in Vrindavan we had about 4,000 devotees, and the intensity of the prayer in every place we went to, it really purified everyone's heart. Just to focus our consciousness on the well-being of a great devotee who has dedicated his life and soul for the welfare of others. And when he did come to consciousness, not long after, I got a phone call from him asking if he could come to our temple on a particular Sunday to give the lecture. So I said, of course, please. And then I made a joke. I said, Maharaj, why don't you also come to our Pune Yatra? We'll be having about 5,000 devotees there. I knew he couldn't come. It's an 8-hour drive round trip. He just came out of critical condition. Can't walk, can hardly talk. But he was so enthusiastic. He said, I don't think they'll let me go. But the doctors are your students. If you tell them to, then they have to let me go. I didn't say anything, because how could I tell them to let him go? But the day we were about to leave, I get a call, this is a couple weeks later, that he's been talking about it ever since. And all the doctors in the hospital were trying to dissuade him. No, no, it's too dangerous. It's not good for your health. 8 hours, Indian roads, I'm driving, and then the pressure of going before 4,000 to 5,000 people and giving, you know, lectures. It's too much pressure, too much traveling. You shouldn't go. But he was very humbly insisting. So finally, they wanted to end it once and for all by getting the main surgeon, the main doctor. If he says no, then it's no. So they approached him, and he said for him to go and give that lecture will be the best thing for his health. Yes, Achyutananda Prabhu, you were there. Am I telling the story properly? This is what the director of the hospital told me. The doctor, they asked, how is it possible? All of this traveling, all of this stress, how could this be the best thing for his health? And he said, because what will make him better is to be happy. And this man's only happiness is to serve others by giving them God's love. So this will heal him. This is Jaipatak Maharaj. And he came. And for most of us, if we have any false ego, you know, being carried up on a raised platform in front of 5,000 people, and you know, drool is coming out of his mouth, and he can't properly see, and they have to put drops in his eyes every few minutes, and drops in his mouth every few minutes. Who would want to be in front of a large crowd with video cameras in that state? But for Maharaj, it wasn't about how he looked. It was about serving. It was about serving others, being an instrument of compassion to others. He spoke for an hour and a half. And every single one of those people in that crowd was weeping in gratitude. They were so moved. Such selfless service. Such love. Beyond material impediments. And that was just the beginning. He went to Mayapur shortly after that and was giving seminars and lectures every night for hundreds or thousands of people. Just giving of himself. What God is teaching us, what Krishna is teaching us through him, is what is the substance of an actually realized saintly person? Paradukaduki. To live for the welfare of other living beings. Even at great cost. Even at great hardship. And actually, for someone who is connected to that divine love of Krishna within, taking hardships for the welfare of others is the greatest pleasure. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wrote this beautiful prayer that the hardships and sufferings that I endure for the well-being of others is the greatest pleasure I know. We read about it, but it really gives us faith and realization when we see people living by this divine principle. And for this, we are forever grateful to His Holiness Jaipatak Swami Maharaj, who has taught us devotional service beyond the mode of goodness, on the plane of transcendental love. Thank you, Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Srila Prabhupada, when he got praised by somebody, then he sometimes said that our beauty is in the eye of the beholder. You know, all these good qualities that Radha Swami sees, because he is such a nice sadhu, He's such a nice devotee. And he sees good qualities even in someone as insignificant as me. So, I did tell in my book that I have a certain addiction to preaching the glories of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Krishna. So, that gives me a great happiness. So, but to hear also, I mean, he does a very nice preaching, and I don't know if you see him here in LA, but in India, he has thousands of people who are very much enthused by his preaching, and so, and he teaches the Brahmacharis and the Grihasthas how to work together, and he takes care of his not only his disciples, even other enlightened disciples that are in his ashram. They're taken care of by the counselor groups. So, it's some exemplary activity which he's doing. So, I was very eager to get his association, but he interprets that as giving a selfless service. That's just my addiction. I talk about Krishna somehow or another. In the hostel, I would get a 45-minute class in the evenings, and 10 or 15 people would come. And during my prasadam, they'd also, his disciples would come and chant kirtan. Some of the Mataji, some of the doctors, as well as some of the young girls, like, what's her name? Kumari Leela and Ruta Manjari. They're fairly young. And but some of the doctors, others who come in to chant, I took prasad. My taking prasad is a self-therapy. Now I only saw a little bit. At that time, I was really. I wear a vid, and because they told me to use my right hand, but my right hand is not coordinated, they said, use it or lose it. So I eat, but it's quite a feat. I mean, my left hand is normal. I could eat easily with that, but that's not the point. The point is to therapy. So one of the therapies is to give blessings, but they said the people should not bow down. I should stand up so that way I could put my hand up to give blessing. So like that. They're having a lot of fun with me. But so they took very kind care of his disciples and other devotees. They took very nice care. I'm internally indebted. I came here because they said the American therapy is better, so I'm trying out, and we're hoping that in 2 to 3 months I'll be able to walk without any assistance. Right now I need someone to help me. I had a strength today. I walked 3,600 steps, which is a record, but all assisted one or another. So eventually I'll be able to walk hopefully without any assistance or a cane or something. So that then I can travel a little bit around India, around the world. So, Prana Swami King. Anyone has any questions?
Interesting. So would you like to share that again?
Thank you. It is a long story and we do not have so much time. But the essence of the story is how great devotees in all real spiritual traditions are grateful. And real gratitude is not just to be grateful for things that we like. Some people are ungrateful for the good and the bad. Yes? It takes a special soul to be grateful for the good things that we receive. But real gratitude is when we are grateful, we see that everything is inherently good that we receive. Even the reversals, the challenges, the failures, the persecutions. To be grateful for the opportunity to turn to God, to love God in that situation. That is real gratitude. And we find that in Haridas Thakur. And in that particular story of St. Francis of Assisi that you are referring to, he's going through persecution, physical suffering, emotional suffering, being rejected, being beaten, and thinking that this is the glory of God. This is the grace of God. This is good fortune. Because in that situation, we can humbly turn to God. Queen Kunti prayed for calamities so she could humbly turn to God in that situation. Thank you. Is there any other questions for Maharaj?
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Jai Pataka Maharaj. Thank you, Maharaj. My question was in reference to the modes of nature, and you were discussing about different modes and how faith is exhibited in those different modes. So if we have, say, family members or people that we have previously grown up with who have these different modes of faith, how should we communicate to them in a way to increase their faith, knowing that they're in those modes, and at the same time encourage them? And how would we go about being able to do that or myself personally. I'm asking Your Holiness Jaipadaka Maharaj.
Hare Krishna. I don't know if I'm the best person to ask, but my mother came to like so many alternates in the 1960s and 70s. She came to take me back. So she said, why do you want to become a priest at such a young age? At that time I was about 19. I was in Canada. So I told her, well, how long do I have to live? And she said, well, why are you playing joke with me? No mother or father can say how long their children have to live. So how can you say that I should wait till I'm old if you can't say how long I'm going to live? Okay, then so why do you have to become a Hindu priest? Why don't you become a Christian priest? I said, well, I found my guru, and my guru is Bhakti Vedanta Swami, and frankly, under his guidance, under his care, I got what I did get in other paths, and so I want to follow him like this. So, at the end, she became a little favorable, and she came to see me in my India. And at that time, she met Srila Prabhupada, my mother. My mother and my father had divorced, which isn't unusual in USA. My father was, he said that, I reject you as a child. You're no longer my son because you are taking this other religion, whatever. So he rejected me. He wouldn't talk to me. Later on, he changed his mind. He said, and after all, a father is a father, a son is a son. So I take back my rejection. You please come and see me. He told his, but I didn't know what to tell him at the time. I thought they'd be very healthy. Here I was. I was, you know, wandering around and, I became now a devotee. It was so great, a wonderful path. I thought they'd be overjoyed. He rejected me. She came and talked to me as she leave. So it wasn't so easy as I thought. So it's a good question you're asking. But later, when she came to see me in Mayapur, and she saw all the nice things we were doing, all the hungry people we were feeding and everything. She became very much more favorable. She wore a sari, and she would cut the roses for Prabhupada and put on his desk. So the Prabhupada said, well, she's a devotee. And I walked in the room once, and Prabhupada was preaching to my mother. You're not this body. You see, you're a living force in the body. So I never heard him use that term, living force, before. So he said, living force. So I thought that was interesting, because it was a simple language that my mother could understand. So like that, she became very available. And but it was Prabhupada who did the preaching. So somehow, Jai, Sisi, Gorni, Jai, Rukmini, Rukadisha, Jagadadvade, Svadraki. So, later, my mother, she did some service for LA community. She lived in Irvine with my sister. And she was like a professional fundraiser. She tried to help raise some funds. I don't know how successful she was, but she tried to raise some funds for LA, and she was brought over to Dallas by Thomas Krishnamaraj, and she tried to do that. At one point, she was sick. I brought her to the New Orleans Temple, where she lived for about 3 years in an apartment across the street. And she took vegetarian food, and she would ask me, why is it wherever she walks in the room, in the temple room, she go over this side, that side, wherever I go, Subhadra is always watching me. So she had some special leela with Subhadra. No matter where she go, Subhadra would watch her. That's what she felt. So what actually to tell your parents? Good luck. I don't know. As you say, they have different faith. Probably if I had to do it all over again, I would have presented things much more according to their faith. But I heard that recently Radha Swami's parents also visited Bande, and I took them out by the boat to the what's it called, the Monkey Island or something, some special touristic island, and that they are quite favorable. But that's what my mother did, is she would go and talk to parents that look at my son as a Hare Krishna, and it's not so bad, you don't really know, you know. She would like talk to the parents. So sometimes they don't want to hear it from the child. They think you and I are all crazy, we don't know. But especially when we're just like teenagers or 20s. But if they hear it from an older person, then they take it more seriously. So that's why I say good luck. But if there's like older people who are able to talk to your parents, maybe that's an easy way for them to, because they think we're all, it depends. I know every parent is different. So after a while, my mother became very favorable. She put in her will that she wants her ashes put in the Ganges. So she left her body a couple of years ago. I took her ashes and I put in the Ganga, where she requested. She told me she had a religious experience there. But what the experience was, she won't even tell me. So I don't know. Maybe Radha Swami can tell it. But it took a while for them to come around. And my father took him like 8 years, and my mother, it took her just a year or two. But if you know, you're the daughter, so if you know your parents, and you know that the kind of reflex or reaction they're going to have is this is bad, so, that's a quite normal reaction. But I don't know, maybe your parents are more open-minded than mine are, but if you're able to explain it in the right a way that they can understand, and be very patient, then hopefully they'll understand. I was once asked to do a TV show in Canada where thinking I had to play the part of a Hare Krishna devotee. And there was a professional actor who took the part of my father. And there was a panel of a doctor, a social worker, a lawyer, like that. It's like the village in the West, like a local mediation team. So they were Saudi was, my father had given me a bicycle, a motorcycle, and I was, so I was saying, he gave for my enjoyment. That was his point. And now I'm using it to serve Krishna. So he didn't go for that. I raised the point that, see, he gave it to me. Whether I serve Krishna or serve whatever, is after all gave it to me. So I'm using it in the way I see this. And it's fun. And then he was trying to argue that no, you know. So during the commercial break, this channel, they're talking amongst themselves. And they knew that I was really a Hare Krishna devotee. So they said, he really believes in what he's doing. And then they're like nodding. And I said, wasn't it really wonderful to actually believe in what you're doing? And the other one said, it's inconceivable. So here was a doctor, a lawyer. They were really a doctor and lawyer. They found it inconceivable that you actually believe in what you're doing. So that was interesting for me. So, because it's actually great to look up to these people. But so there, the point is that if your parents realize that you're really happy and you're right to them, you call them, then you stand the best chance of they'll be very favorable, okay? You know, if they think that you're going to like cut off or do something, they get more, what to say, negative. So if you're very older and communicate with them, that helps a lot. Hare Krishna. So I heard your parents are very favorable now. Maybe after 20, 30 years, they all get favorable. But any secret you like to add?
In this regard, I'll just tell one short story. When my mother and father first came to India, it was in 1989, a very great transformation in their appreciation for what Krishna consciousness is, the association of devotees. But Srila Jaipatak Maharaj explained that they wanted to go sightseeing. So we went on a boat to the Elephanta Island. Well, you were actually, what I'm about to say makes your name very accurate. My mother, middle class, conservative American housewife from the Midwest, north of Chicago, not far from Wisconsin, where Srila Jagpatak Maharaj, we were neighbors, actually. And she gets off the boat, and she's walking in the Elephanta Island. Suddenly, she was face to face with a monkey. And the monkey showed his sharp teeth to my mother. And then jumped toward her and grabbed her purse. And she was holding onto her purse, screaming, and the monkey pulled the purse away from her. It had her passport, her airplane tickets, her credit cards, all her money, my father's money, my father's passport. Everything was in my mother's purse. And the monkey grabbed it, ran away, and climbed up a tree. My mother was experiencing culture shock. She had never in Chicago and Midwest, you don't get attacked by monkeys. So she was really, she started crying, you know, she took my purse, everything I have, everything we have is in the purse. So I saw somebody close by selling bananas sitting on the ground. So I just gave him a rupee and took a banana. And then I saw the monkey. He was on a branch of a tree holding the purse. And I threw the banana, I threw the monkey a banana. And in order to catch the banana, he let go of the purse and the purse fell down. And then I returned the purse to my mother, and she was so proud of me. When I went home next, a few months later, back to see relatives, they were saying, "Oh, your mother was saying how intelligent you are." That you were able to get the purse from the banana. I mean, the purse from the monkey, I'm sorry, purse from the monkey, with the banana. So in this way, there are many ways to reach the heart of our parents. And if we're just kind to them and loving to them and respectful to them, but at the same time preserve the life and the ideals that we hold sacred, and we're honest and we're good in our bhakti, then in due course of time, parents will get used to the fact of what you are, and they will open their hearts and appreciate and be proud. And I've seen it in almost every case. But sometimes it takes some time. I think we should end here because Maharaj needs to rest also. Thank you very, very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.